Welcome to There She Grows podcast, where we are embracing life's twists with a side of wit. I'm your host, Abby O'Sullivan. Okay, so leading up to our wedding, like there was a lot of hustle and bustle. It was late May, springtime, Midwest, allergies, things, stress, lack of sleep. By the time we got to Mexico, we were staying at an all-inclusive resort in Playa del Carmen. I was pretty exhausted. I mean, not to mention like, you know, you have an early flight, you get up at some god-awful time in the morning, like 3 a.m. to catch their flight. And then you're going through your flight and your airports and all your like connecting, blah, 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 blah. And we land in Cancun, but we traveled to Playa. So there's just like, it's travel day. You're going to be kind of tired. Like you're excited to get there, but you're like, fuck, I'm tired after fucking everything to do with a wedding, partying. And then like 2 days later, here we are. We walked around on the beach for a little bit. We had dinner and then I was ready to go to bed. I was ready to chill. I don't know if it was like necessarily go to sleep, but I was exhausted. And I was also having like some kind of like head coldy sinus congestion type thing. Like I just wasn't feeling real hot, you know, and or sexy. So like figuratively and literally, I was not feeling really hot. And I remember about what time this was because it was when it was either Conan O'Brien or it was Jimmy Fallon when they started the late show. So it was either when Conan took over for Jay Leno briefly or it was when Jimmy Fallon started late night. It was the one that comes on after the news. That's the timeline is important and that's why I'm saying this. So I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. Who knows how I said it, you know, like, I just want to lay here. I just want to rest. And he wanted to go downstairs to the big lobby dining entertainment area, like this big giant room that's kind of off of the check-in lobby type area. And there's a bar down there and he's like, I'm going to go like see the, you know, get the lay of the land, explore, check things out, have a drink, whatever. And I was like, okay, fine. I don't know if I was annoyed by that. I don't remember how I felt. This has been a really long time ago. And it was fairly traumatic. So maybe I just blocked it out. Because really what happened is what happened. There's no going back and changing any of this. And if I did feel bad, the point is that I didn't say anything. If I was annoyed that he was leaving me alone instead of spending time with me, I didn't say it would mean a lot to me if he just stayed with me, like when I don't feel good. Maybe I was like, get the fuck out of here. I don't know. I don't think I was like that. I actually think that I wanted him to stay. Like I wanted us to like hang out together, go explore together the next day. That's what I wanted. But I probably was just like, yeah, whatever, fine. You know, like, yeah, okay, well, fine. Like, how long are you going to be or something like that? I didn't specifically say like, hey, stay with me. Stay with me. Let's do this together tomorrow. So he goes and I conk out pretty quickly, but it's one of those really quick 30 minute kind of sleeps, but you wake up and you feel like it's been 5 hours because you were out so deeply. But that late night show was still on, like they were still on. So it was before midnight. You know, I think it only been like 30 or 45 minutes. And I was like, whoa. And he wasn't back, but I was like, okay, well, it hasn't been that long. It's not that late. So I wasn't really worried about it. And I went back to sleep. But the next time I woke up, I was like, okay, I mean, it's been a while. So like, when is he going to come back? When do things close down? So I called him and we have 2008, 2009 phones, you know, so Blackberries. Razors were really popular, those thin flip phones. And then also just like your regular little rectangular cell. And he had this one that was for people who were doing like rugged stuff because of his job. And I call him and I call him and I call him and I call him and I'm not getting an answer. And then I'm getting like the thing where you know the phone is not answering. It's shut off. And that is worrisome, you know, like where is he? Is he purposefully ignoring me? Did something happen to him? Did his phone die? And I can't get a hold of him. And I guess because I was just waking up and I didn't know whether to like get dressed and go down there I don't know. For some reason, I just stayed in the hotel room. I didn't put clothes on, you know, put a bra on, put clothes on and go downstairs and start go looking for him. I stayed there and I kept trying to call him. And I'm like looking outside the room off the balcony down at the beach. We had like an oceanfront view. That's very nice. And there's the staffer on the beach walking along the beach with flashlights. It's after midnight, so it's pitch fucking dark. You know, they're just checking, I guess, to make sure everything's cool out there. So I don't see any movement out there. And I call down to the front desk and I'm like, hey, have you seen this guy? Is this place still open? He hasn't come back to the room yet. Do you know if he's down there? And they're like, no, he's not down here. We haven't seen him or whatever they say. Again, this has been a while. So like my memory of like the exact sentences spoken is a little fuzzy, but they're just pretty much like, no, we haven't seen him. And I'm like, okay, well, like, where could he be? Where could he be? Why isn't he in the room? He's not answering his phone. And they're like, well, maybe he went to the bars, you know, and the clubs on the street, like they're just closing. So he'll probably be back soon. And I'm like, this guy does not go to the fucking club. I mean, I just told you how we have very different social. No, I suppose in a different place, like given what he told me, given it maybe in a new place, maybe he did. I will never know the exact truth. I'm not actually concerned about that. But I was like, nah, he did not. He didn't go to a fucking random club in Mexico. It's just not him. He didn't go to a club. But I'm like, all right, well, okay. And some time passes and I finally call his parents because I can't get a hold of him. And I'm like, hey, I mean, I can't get him to answer his phone. I don't know what's going on. This is when he left and I can't find him. And all that comes to my mind, guys, is Natalie Holloway. And if you're, you know, have been around on the earth a little while, you remember when Natalie Holloway disappeared in Aruba, it was a really big fucking deal. And that's what came to my mind is like, this is some Natalie Holloway shit. Like this guy has disappeared. And I don't know what happened to him. And I'm in a foreign country and I'm alone now in the middle of the night. I am alone. So his parents, you know, are concerned. I call down to the desk again. And eventually somebody from the hotel brings up his wallet, his actual wallet, and a couple of things from his wallet. I believe an ID and then like, you know, some random thing that he had in his wallet. And that's it. No cash, no cards, things like that. So that's really odd. And they found it like outside the entrance. Now, I don't know if they meant like the doors or the little half circle drive. So this resort sat on a corner in like the pull in drive, the little half circle drive. It wasn't really that big of a space. It didn't take up a lot of like road space. So it's kind of a short half circle drive. So there's not like an expanse that they're having to search outside of the hotel. That's hotel grounds, meaning the street is right there too. And across the street was another resort. And there were also armed guards, security in between there patrolling with giant rifles and stuff. So this is like the time of avian flu or whatever flu where they had to take our temperature on our foreheads as we came through the airports. And then also like cartel shit was very much in the news at the time. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind that like, this is the time frame we're talking about. And I mean, you certainly don't go on your honeymoon thinking like anything bad's going to happen, right? You don't want anything bad to happen. You never go on a trip thinking these types of things. So they've found his wallet and some random things inside of his wallet somewhere on hotel property, but like outside. So I guess in that little half drive or something. And maybe somebody, you know, oh, we found this, brought it to the desk. And then when I was calling, they were like, oh, we have his things. We'll bring them to you. And I'm like, what the fuck does this mean? Why the fuck is it just his wallet? Where is the rest of the shit from the wallet? And then where is he at? That's also what I would like to know. And so I've called his parents. I think I called them maybe like a couple times. So, I mean, they're up now. Like people are concerned. And I remember his dad told me, I always thought this was kind of funny in retrospect. His dad was trying to gently tell me, it's okay if you get a little, you know, and what he meant was hysterical. It's okay if you get demanding. It's okay if you get a little bit wild, because these people aren't helping you. And you need to know where your husband is. You need to know where your person is, where their son is. And they're really not giving you a lot to go on. So he was basically telling me, like, it's okay to put on a show. Use your tears, use your emotions, get demanding, like get crazy with it. And I knew what he meant. And I was like, okay, yes, sir. So I called down there and I'm like, listen, he is not here. He's not at the club. I need to know where he is. Like, what's the next step? Like, who do I call? How do I find him? I'm not going to go running around in the fucking streets at whatever 1 a.m. in the morning in a place I don't know. I'm not doing that. It's not safe. And they tell me I can contact the police. So I contact the police. And this is me having to use every bit of like TV Spanish that I've learned, Spanish that I've learned from TV. That's what I say. It's TV Spanish. You know, just a little bits of, that I know, like mi esposo, like, and I'm just hoping that I'm saying things correctly enough that I'm going to be able to figure out where my husband is. So I call the police station. And he understands me and he's like, what's his name? And I say his name and he's like, yeah, he's here. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me right now. Like, why? Why is he there? And they give me some story about him. They give me a couple versions of the story. They're slightly different enough that I feel like they were making this shit up and that maybe they just wanted an excuse to take his shit. I don't know, but that's kind of what I feel like happened. And they gave me like a couple of versions of this, I don't know, not really a similar story, but I guess this is what they wanted to use. It was sort of on the basis of belligerence or drugs. And they were saying that they found him passed out by a vehicle and that he was fighting them when they were trying to get him to move. So I don't think he used the word belligerent, but basically he was being some sort of dickhead when they're trying to get him to move. And so he was in jail. And I'm like, I mean, okay, what do I need to do to get him out? And it was 200 pesos. That's it. That's all they wanted. And I could come get him in the morning or whatever. So I call his parents. I call the hotel and I'm like, how can I, this is what has happened. I need help. And it was, I don't know, like it was just really, I guess this is really interesting. It makes me wonder if like this has happened before. And I mean, I think I've thought about that before, but it's really interesting how it was all handled. Anyway, they had somebody that, this gal, and I think maybe it was the gal that I was talking to all night, but she was going to come off of her shift in the morning and take me there. Or maybe she was like coming in. I think she was getting off of her shift and she was going to go with me to the jail and help me get him out. I think they felt bad, you know? So I'm like awake all night, basically just kind of waiting for them to call me and let me know like when it's time to go. And she was so very sweet. Like we even called her our guardian angel. Like she was just so sweet to help me like that. And so we get in a hotel van and we go to the jail. And that's a, you know, super fun experience to go to a jail in a different country. It's a super fun experience to go to jail in general. That's obviously sarcasm, y'all. And we walk in, she goes with me, and they tell her that he was trying to buy drugs or trying to sell drugs. It had something to do with drugs, and he was like trying to buy them, and then he was arrested. There wasn't a lot to the story, but that's what got relayed to me. And she kind of just had this look like she like, you know, like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know either, but that doesn't sound like him. I mean, maybe I guess if it was like a certain type of drug, I don't know. But at the time I was like, okay, well now what? They just wanted the money. That was it. Like, we don't have to come back for like a court date or anything. Like the tourist is just free to go. And that was it. He was free to go. So I don't know. All that just sounds a little shady to me. Knowing what I know about this person, my ex-husband, and our relationship, I suppose there's like maybe a very, very, very slim chance that some of what they said was possibly true. But at the time, I didn't believe that. I don't think he just like randomly went to the clubs. I don't think he was like wandering around. But I suppose if he'd had too many beers and he was feeling confident, I don't know. Was it a setup? Was it targeted? Was it him being an asshole? I don't know. Well, I know I won't ever know because I'm not going to ask him. So here's what happened next. So we go around to this other part of the building and he comes out of this entrance. There's a couple of concrete blocks and there's a lot of, it's unfinished landscaping all around. It's a big, big yard that's mostly dirt and like whatever, you know, like grass can grow through that. And he comes out without any shoes on and he just had brand new shoes on. He brought his tennis shoes and a pair of flip-flops. He came out with no shoes on. His phone was taken. His money was taken. I don't believe he had his passport. I know there was some issue with us getting back and forth. Maybe he had his passport, but not his driver's license. Maybe there was that. There was one of them that he didn't have. He comes out without any fucking shoes on, walking across this lot. And when he gets to me, I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like looking him over to see like, is he injured? What has happened? Is his face busted up? His knee was banged up so bad that he couldn't bend it very well. So he was kind of hobbling. And then the palm of his hand, the heel of his hand, there was like about a half dollar size of skin missing where they had slammed it into the ground when they were trying to get his ring off. So they took his ring and he said this happened in jail. And they took his phone and his money. And so he comes out just like with the clothes he was wearing. And before he can say anything, and there's a guard standing there with like a giant rifle and stuff. It's very intimidating looking. And I'm just like, oh my God, just get in the fucking van. Let's just go. Let's just go. Let's just go. Like I have a van for us here. They're from the hotel. Like, well, let's go before you say a fucking word. We're getting the fuck out of here. So the lady was very sweet to us. And then we called up the hotel doctor to check everything. I mean, his hand really needed some attention. He'd been in he was separated from everybody else in his jail cell. And he was saying that it was extremely dirty. It was like super insane, like bathroom. It was like literally like a bathroom in that cell. And not to go into too graphic of detail, but extremely unsanitary. So like you're looking at this hand and it is disgusting and it needed a lot of care. Then we're dealing with family and, you know, telling everybody what's happened and he's okay. We just kind of hunkered down the rest of that day, got room service and stuff while he recovered. He kind of wanted like, we're okay, kind of just let us be. I think we were offered, do you want to move to a different resort by his family? Do you want to come home? Come home, come home. And because he couldn't bend his knee comfortably at all, he was in pain. He didn't necessarily want to get on a flight. We didn't want to escalate things either. His family was talking about, I don't know, the embassy or like offices or whatever. Whatever happened to him, he did not want to take it further. And I think what were we going to do anything? What was going to happen? What was going to happen anyway? And I think maybe also like retaliation or something like that. He just did not want to escalate things. He was just like, whatever it happened. So for whatever reasons and whatever he went through, that was something that he wanted. And I didn't really want to do it either because I was also sort of afraid of the same things. And that was it. So we just were like, no, no, no. Like, please stop talking about that. From then on, like the rest of that trip, you know, we have 5 days or something down there. I would say we kind of made the best of it given the circumstances. From what he told me, he was knocked really hard on the head, probably with the butt of a gun on the back of his head. And so what it sounded like, it was that he'd like met a guy down at the bar, like some, you know, fellow person that was staying at the resort, and they were having some beers or whatever. And he went outside of the hotel, like on that short little drive. And then something about the police saying you can't drink out here. And then all of a sudden he was being hit in the back of the head. So, you know, while I don't know like the exact circumstances or the exact situation, the things that happened, I suppose like one could say, well, was he roofied? Was this other guy like cool? What was he like? Yeah, let's go buy some pills or some shit, you know? I don't know. But there were guards right out there. And I don't know, say somebody gets mouthy. I don't know. Maybe he was mouthy. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe they were just like, you can't have your beer out here. And then he said something back and he didn't move fast enough. Like, I don't fucking know. And I kind of wondered if he remembered for a while if he was hit that hard. So regardless, I never brought it up again. I think I asked him then, but it wasn't something that a year later I was like, hey, so do you remember exactly what happened that night? All I know is that we both went through something pretty traumatic and that I was just really happy to have him back alive and, you know, for the most part, well. And you just really never know how that's going to affect somebody. And I didn't realize how badly it affected me till much later in our marriage when he didn't come home one night. And I was like, wow, this is like the fucking same thing all over again. I'm calling police stations and highway patrols to see if he's driven off the side of the road somewhere. I won't go into that, but it definitely brought back memories of Mexico. And I was like, God dang, I do not want to do this again. So that was how that went. I mean, we even took a little like excursion, like the jail excursion certainly was not on my agenda, nor was it on his. But we did take an excursion and we went into town, bought him some shoes and, you know, and kind of joked about certain things. He survived and we were able to laugh about it a little bit. And then also we had to worry about having enough bandages and keeping that really bad wound clean when we went on a freaking 3-hour there and 3-hour back bus ride to Chichen Itza. And the staff was very attentive and very nice. And that's my honeymoon story. That's how our marriage officially started. And a month later, when his little brother was getting married, his dad and I were dancing and he said, you know, you handled that really well. I really like have to say I admire you for how you were handling that or something like that. And I remember being like, oh, thanks. Like you did not see me freaking out in the room. You did not see me literally wondering what the fuck happened to him. Like fucking Natalie Holloway having a little mini panic attack in the room. But I appreciate the compliment. You know, maybe we both handled it really well. So there you go. There's all you need to know about the time that I got married and my honeymoon story. And with that, best wishes for you and love in your life. Just wait until we talk about daddy issues. All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in to There She Grows podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a rating and review. And be sure to share it with your friends and family that you know would enjoy it too. There She Grows podcast is lovingly produced by Wonder Podcast Productions.